Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs Podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of 14,000 outdoor industry leaders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice.
We once again compiled the hottest jobs from the group and our own industry contacts and our little sleuthing ways that we have, so you can find out who's hiring right now.
And if you want even more options, including opportunities specifically for freelancers, make sure you're signing up for our free weekly newsletter. There is a link on outdoordreamjobs.com. It's actually in a couple of places. You can't miss it.
And if you have a job to post, that's another great place to post an opportunity. It has a quickly growing audience. And, you know, there's a lot of different parts of the newsletter you can post to. So after we talk about the jobs, we are interviewing Sean McCoy and Adam Ruggiero, editors at Gear Junkie, for a lighthearted but super helpful conversation on how to get a foot in the door at one of the leading media sites in the industry.
Yeah, it was a super fun interview. Great guys. And Gear Junkie sounds like an amazing spot to work. So make sure you stick around for that interview. But we've got several jobs for you. And due to your feedback, we got a couple more entry-level positions. That's what people were looking for. So the first one is with Wild Rye, and that is in Sun Valley, Idaho. It is a part-time position, and you're going to be doing some customer service stuff. So it's something that you can walk right into, and it's a great place to start if you want to be in the outdoor industry but don't have any experience yet. You're going to be doing stuff like inventory and shipping orders and things of that nature. But the reason that we love this position so much is actually who you'll be working with. And Cassie, who founded Wild Rye, she is just such an empowering person, and she just really supports women entrepreneurs and women in the industry. She also started an initiative called Women Led Wednesday. So she's just doing some great stuff and would be an amazing mentor.
Absolutely. And if you're not familiar with Wild Rye, which most people aren't because it's brand new, it's women's apparel for the outdoors, kind of rooted in mountain bike, but they branch out in all other kind of adventure activities. Beautiful apparel. And again, Cassie would be great to work for. She also handles PR for some brands, so you might get a few PR tips and tricks in there as well. And the next job that we have is from the Nature Conservancy. And this job is in New York. It is in Cold Spring Harbor. This is a conservation land steward, entry level, working on the Hudson River. And the really cool part about this position is actually it's sort of right in the gateway to the Hudson Valley. So you're pretty close to New York City, only an hour and 20 by train. And so if you have a partner or, you know, roommates who want to work in the city, then this is a great place for you to live and still have access to trails and the beautiful outdoors that are the Hudson Valley. So fantastic entry-level position. There's also shared housing available, and it's, I think, paid hourly to start, and it's a short-term role. So not something permanent, but could be a really cool experience.
Yeah, if you want to work for somewhere like the Nature Conservancy, it's always recommended to get your foot in the door and let people know, you know, what your work ethic is and how you are to work with. That's the best way to get a full-time position in a company. We've also got Cliff Bar is hiring, which is exciting, for a more entry-level position. They would like a paid media specialist, so somebody developing their digital marketing programs and campaigns, and they would like someone that will work in Emeryville, California. Again, entry-level opportunities are, you know, less frequent, we're finding, than director level, so definitely check this one out.
Yeah, and Cliff Bar has been known over the years to make Outside Magazine's Best Places to Work list. They have a really good company culture. They have great, you know, perks and benefits and just general kind of life-work balance. So highly recommend Cliff Bar as an employer. The next position is at Rad Power Bikes, which is an e-bike company, and they're looking for a graphic designer with 2 years of experience in Seattle, Washington. So you'll be working on all sorts of different kind of graphic treatments for digital platforms and branded content, and working really closely with the marketing teams there. This is a growing company. We've seen some positions from them over the last couple of months. So this looks like a great opportunity for somebody who wants to move into that e-bike space, which, again, a booming business right now, and get their foot in the door with some design work, 2 years of experience.
Yeah, the bike industry in general is booming right now. That is absolutely a place to be if you want to get into this industry, I think.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. If you go past any bike shop in LA, there's a line out the door.
Yeah. Okay. So the North Face, this is super exciting too, has created a brand new role of mobile marketing manager. And they need somebody to manage their mobile app and their, you know, SMS, their text management system for additional communication to their customers and things like that. So completely brand new role. They'd like someone with some experience in this type of role, about 5 years, but certainly apply. The North Face is located in Denver, but it's obviously going to be remote to start because there is a global pandemic, which I'm sure you've heard about. But absolutely, I know that they've already gotten a ton of applications for this position, but we wanted to throw it out here just because it's so cool and new.
The next position is at Yeti in Austin, Texas, and this is a director level position looking for 10 years of experience. This is a director of environmental, social, and governance. So thinking really in terms of making sure that Yeti is doing their best to achieve sustainability, which is a really, really big feat when you work in products like coolers and drinkware. I think this is a super important position. You have the chance to make a huge impact and also, you know, help the environment, which is really, really cool.
And if you have less than 10 years of experience, maybe you have like only 7 or 8, I would say you should still go for it.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Yeah.
That's a pretty specific line of work. So if you've got 8 years of experience in that line of work, then by all means, I think you'd be a worthy candidate. Fantastic. Well, let's get over to our interview with the editors at Gear Junkie, and hopefully they'll give us some tips and tricks on how to write for them, work for them. They seem like a growing entity as well. So let's go.
Yeah, and super fun to chat with. Let's go. We have got Gear Junkie with us. We have Sean and Adam, and they're going to talk to us about not only Gear Junkie, but some positions they have upcoming that you guys might want to check out. So thanks for coming on the pod, guys.
Thanks for having us. Super excited.
Now give us an overview of what Gear Junkie is in case somebody does not know about you guys.
Is this me or you?
Do you want to field this one?
Yes. Super want to field this
one. I'm excited to hear your
answer. Okay, so this is Adam. I'm the senior editor of Gear Junkie. I've been there since 2016. And I would say Gear Junkie is an outdoor news and gear review website that in the last 4 years has grown substantially as an outdoor presence. There's nothing that we can't cover. We do everything from water sports to climbing and trail running, ultra sports. Sean, bicycling. What am I missing? Like everything? We also cover grills.
Hunting.
In a nutshell, we are flexible and dynamic with a focus on the outdoors and an eye toward gear, but we love the personalities and the environment that is fostered with an adventurous community.
So Gear Junkie is a place to go if you want outdoor news, gear, and just kind of community surrounding the outdoors.
Grills. Cool. Yes.
Now you guys both work there. What's it like?
Sean?
I'll take that one. It is a very fast-paced environment. It's a fun job, I think. But I definitely have people working hard every day. We're challenged by all the great competition that there is in the market. So we're constantly trying to find the story. We're trying to find it first, and we want to tell it well. So it's there are a lot of stressful days, obviously, but I think we all really enjoy the grind of what we do in some senses. Obviously, there's hard days, there's good days, there's bad days, but most of the time, I personally really enjoy the kind of rush of running a virtual newsroom where we're trying to find the story. And, it varies quite a bit from the editorial side, which is where we both work a lot, to the project side where we're working a lot more closely with brands to help tell their stories. And those, you know, that tends to be a different type of discussion, which is probably closer aligned to magazine journalism than it would be with your day-to-day grind of a newspaper-style journalism, which is actually my background. So it's a little bit of both of those worlds. But for a writer, we have really high standards. We try to make sure that our storytelling is exciting and accurate and fast.
I would say Gear Junkie is as close to a print publication environment as you're going to find in an online media format. It's very fast paced. It's typically informal. There's a lot of camaraderie and it is constantly changing.
So somebody that can work obviously in a kind of high stress environment, really similar to a newsroom, like you said, that set the scene perfectly. Who else can hang with Gear Junkie? What type of person do you look for to join your team?
A Gear Junkie.
You need to have a passion for being outdoors, or at least a love for it or an interest for it. I think an understanding of products and product cycles and what makes a good versus a bad product, the ability to kind of suss out something good versus marketing hyperbole is a great skill. So critical thinking. And then definitely some writing chops, because that's I almost feel like that's just a baseline. You have to be able to write, and
you have to be able to write, and you have to be able to be edited. Trust that your editors know what the audience needs.
How many people do you guys have right now?
I would say the edit team comprises eight to ten, but we're not all in Denver.
Yep, and they're not everyone's full time.
Right.
Some of the people on the edit team work with us as contractors or part-time. And some of them have been very long-standing contributors who are not on our salary. So we have, I think last year we had around 80 freelancers.
And we love easily. All of them. They're all
every
wonderful.
One of them brings a special voice to Gear Junkie. And I say that with a mix of yes, truth, and also, man, it's a lot of work. Dealing with freelance writing, because you know, you hear a lot about how hard it is to be a freelancer, and I totally understand that. I've done some of that in my life in the past, and it's also really hard working with that many individual writers who all have their own style, who all have their own personality quirks, and every time you're sending back feedback, it's just like, oh gosh, how's this person going to take it?
It's interesting, because as you and I have both freelanced, and freelancers have to walk that line where they're trying to please editors of different publications, and it is a total hustle. And I have nothing but respect for freelancers. It is really, really hard. But now being, you know, inside Gear Junkie, you have to kind of funnel things through what you know the publication and what the audience needs. And it is not easy. So if you're a freelancer, like really, 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 really look at the publication you're pitching.
Yeah.
What they need, what their audience is, what past stories are. And again, it goes back to being receptive to editorial feedback. It's not that your writing isn't up to snuff. It's that it might not be perfect for that audience.
Yeah.
So really research it. But being a freelancer is not,
it's so
not
hard.
An easy game.
It's so hard. I mean, I did it also as a right out of college for years. I did it with the AP. I did it with all kinds of places long ago. And boy, everything they tell you in J school about getting to know the publication.
Yeah, totally true.
When you're on the other side of the screen and you're editing, man, you can't believe how many people don't really know the publication. And so that would, boy, anybody who's a freelancer, really get to know what people are writing. Don't pitch a story that we wrote 2 days ago.
Yeah.
You guys basically answered my question, which was if a freelancer wants to get with Gear Junkie, what do they do? But it sounds like just have a thoughtful pitch in the brand voice of Gear Junkie, in a story that hasn't rolled yet, or, you know, at least needs updating.
I'm not going to say it will guarantee an article on Gear Junkie, but if you include a picture of your dog with your pitch, it will definitely get a leg up.
It definitely helps.
First and foremost, read Gear Junkie.
Yeah.
Before you write for Gear Junkie, read Gear Junkie.
Yeah.
It sounds stupid, and I totally get it, because I
it freelance. Does not sound stupid, actually.
Well, I mean, I pitched Gear Junkie 1,000 times as a freelancer, and I Sean would email me before I knew who Sean was, and I'd be like, what? This story is amazing. Can't believe you don't like it. But it wasn't a fit. It wasn't a fit, because I knew the effort I had put in to researching a story. I knew the voice I had, I knew what I brought to it, but the one thing I was missing was I didn't think about the publication. I didn't research what Gear Junkie had published. I didn't research who the readers were, and it did need to be massaged. It might have been a great story somewhere, but for this audience, you have to do your homework, and it's work, but it's not too much work. Read the site.
Yeah.
Use the search bar on the site. See what they've written. If they've published something about what you want to talk about, see how you can differentiate yourself. That is as much a part of it as being a good writer, is knowing what this publication has, what stories this publication has already told.
Yeah, yeah. I would add on to that, that when you research a site, and I think that this probably goes beyond Gear Junkie, but for anyone who's a freelancer that's maybe just getting their foot in the door, I think the really good writers read the places that they're pitching in depth. I think that they really get involved in what the place is writing about. I think that you don't just read the articles that stand out to you also. So read the things that you're not necessarily that interested in. Maybe read the things that you disagree with and really kind of start get a feel for what the editors are doing. So a lot of sites have editors that actually write articles themselves, and maybe you can, you know, tiptoe in on a passion that they have. Find something that editor really knows and say, hey, I really liked or didn't like what you said about this thing. I have a different take on it. Maybe that'd be a good way to get in with a publication. And a lot of times having that really focused pitch can be super helpful. And then the other thing I'd add is to be persistent. If one pitch falls flat, or if you don't hear back from an editor, it doesn't mean that they hate you or that they don't like your idea. It might just be that they're really busy.
Yes, 100%.
And that's another thing that I remember hearing from J School is like, you're not necessarily going to hear back from every pitch. And it doesn't even mean that people don't like the pitches. It just might mean that day they didn't have time to email back and say, hey, that's close, but not going to work. Thanks. You know, and you get hundreds of pitches and it's tough to get back to all of them.
There was a time when I really wanted to keep my inbox count under like 50.
now I shoot
to keep my inbox under like 500. So if it gets to like 500, I'm like, okay, I really, really need to like review everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sean's 100% right. Don't take a non-response as like you're not worth it. Be persistent. Know that what you have to say is worth it. Respect the fact that editors have an insane amount of pitches and information coming their way. And just differentiate yourself. Like, find a way to just separate what you have to say from what everyone else might have to say. You know, formality is great and all, but also add some character. Like, be different. Just understand that you're dealing with people ultimately, and find a way to get in with those people.
Absolutely. And then once you get that pitch, you get that assignment, knock it out of the park. Yes,
please do.
On that first one. Oh man. Don't.
First impressions. It's
holy cow. Hand in a story that we look at and are like, wow, this is awesome. I don't have to change a thing. Because I tell every writer, when an editor comes back to you with a lot of edits, it's not that we want to do that. Gosh, the last thing I want to do is edit an article. I want to hand it in just like it came to me and pass it along and publish it. That's my dream. But it's fairly rare that we have we have a lot of writers actually at this point that do that, but it takes a long time to find them.
It is worth noting that different publications have a slightly different voice. Even if they're news oriented and objective, they have a slightly different voice. So you can save yourself a lot of hassle if you read 10 to 12 stories that they've published and kind of identify how they're different than any other publication in the outdoor space, and cater your draft to that. It really, because we're all different, and it really saves a lot of time. And that's just because we have different audiences. Like, we've succeeded because there is an audience that likes what we do better than what other people do. And that's
who is your audience, would you say?
Ooh. We need to make sure that we're writing to a broad audience and to give enough information for the experts to also be interested while talking plainly enough that people that aren't experts also understand what we're talking about. So, yeah, sussing out jargon into the places that, you know, giving people the background that they need so it can reach that audience.
When I started, Gear Junkie had some momentum. It was largely Stephen Reginald and Sean McCoy. Stephen founded Gear Junkie. Sean and he were in college together, and they really built this thing up to what it is. So when I started, it was those two doing the vast majority of the editorial work. And when I started, they would speak of this sort of ethereal character named Millard.
I was hoping this guy would come up.
I'm like, And like,
what up, Steve?
Granted, I didn't go to college with Sean and Steven, even though I went to the same college. I graduated later, and they knew this guy who I only knew as Millard, and he was like this trope. He was this general persona that was the gear junkie, like the person for whom we were writing. And my, please correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that this is somebody who is abreast of what the latest gear is, what the latest tech is, but will not hesitate to use duct tape to fix any situation if it calls for it. It's somebody who likes to grill, who likes to hike, who likes to bike, kind of in equal measure, is good at some things, not amazing at others, but will do anything and will kind of, in a nutshell, take a dare and not look back.
Boy, that pretty much nails it. We'll have to ask Millard how he feels about that, but I think it pretty much summarizes.
I feel like I know Millard now.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
It doesn't have to be somebody that has infinite buying power. It's not all about the latest and greatest gear, even though that is really fascinating to write about and I hope fascinating to read about. It is mainly about getting the hell outside, mm-hmm. and whatever helps you do that is worth your time.
And making the right investments to maybe you do spend a lot of money on something that you know you're going to have a long time and is going to serve you well for years and years, and maybe cutting corners in other places where it won't make as much difference.
It's both products and education. It's as valuable to know what to buy as to know how to fix something on your own.
Yeah.
Okay. We've gone over freelancers. Awesome. We have a huge freelancer community, so that was all super helpful. But you guys also are hiring full time. I know not right at this exact moment because you posted some positions in the Basecamp group, which we appreciated, and they actually got filled super quickly. So you're not hiring right now, but you will be in the future. What exciting things are on the horizon for Gear Junkie?
We have new properties that we really want to talk about. I don't want to go into a lot of detail about it. It's not like private. It's not secret right now or anything. Like, these are done deals. But we don't want to go into a ton of depth just because, you know, this is something that we're excited about and we want to be able to come out with a cool product and be ready to hit the ground running when we do this. So we have some new sites that we're working with, and we're also in talks about a few other sites that are a lot of times related to gear. They're going to have a similar voice and mentality about sussing out the best gear, reviewing it, researching it. And it could be for home goods, could be for automotive, could be for other areas in the outdoors that aren't as much focused to Gear Junkie, and lifestyle. And so we're going to be working with these brands and kind of merging some teams to build a really strong media group. We will be looking for more employees, I'm sure, in the near future. And, you know, the best I could say is just kind of keep your eyes open. If it is outdoors related in any way, I'm sure we'll be sharing it with Basecamp. But
yeah, stay tuned to Basecamp.
Yeah, stay tuned to Basecamp. It's a, you know, you guys do a great job with that. I'm on there a lot, so
thank you.
Always keep an eye on it, and we'll be posting when we have opportunities.
It sounds like the headline is just Gear Junkie takes over the internet.
Yep.
Really.
Yep. Yep. That sounds about right. Cool.
Yeah.
Publish it.
Summed it up for you.
Gear Junkie purchases Google. Takes over a world.
Run that, baby.
You know, we gave it a passing nod, but Basecamp is a phenomenal resource. As somebody that discovered mm-hmm. Basecamp after I was kind of intertwined in the industry, I really wish it had existed when I was trying to break in.
Yeah,
it is phenomenal. There's no reason not to check up on it every single day or multiple hours throughout the day. It is great. It is not only for posting, it's also to see who the personalities are that are contributing to the page, because those are people you should know and network with. And it is kind of a played out saying, but networking is everything. Like, who you know is as important as what you know. And if you're really passionate about it, like you're tireless about getting into the outdoor industry, you should really pay attention to and connect with the people on Basecamp, because it is a valuable resource and we're all there. Like, I'm there, Sean's there, freelancers I work with are there, people from other publications are there, and that is kind of unheard of, and you should take advantage of it if you're trying to get a foothold.
Thanks, guys. That was, I'll send you the money for that commercial right after we're done. That was
just send beer. Just send beer. All I need is beer.
No, completely agree. The networking aspect of Basecamp is arguably even more important than the job posting aspect of it. And that's actually where I met you guys. So, you know, social proof that it works awesome. Can you guys tell us a legitimate, something that set an application apart when you did just hire? Like, does
anything
stand out?
That's a really good question. But there is a pageantry element to applying for a job. Where you want to put on the best face. You want to get the job. You want to say the things that you think the interviewer will like. And that, I understand that, but the interviewee should really feel empowered to vet the publication just as much as they are being vetted. Like,
yes,
you should really leverage that to see, like, is this a job I want? Don't measure yourself on whether or not you get the job. Like, really take the opportunity in those interviews, in that application process, to be like, do I want this job? Because if you don't want it, you it's not a fit. There is a fit for you out there. And if this publication is asking of you things that just don't jive with your background or what your interests are, you shouldn't take that job. You shouldn't.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't, because it's not going to work out in the long run. And you should find some place that does mesh. And I think having interviewed my fair number of people, like, that gets lost. Like, you want to get the job because that is the good thing. But you should take the opportunity to really evaluate the employer as much as they are evaluating you, because that will save you a lot of hassle in the long run.
Definitely agree with that.
Awesome. Guys, can we end with you telling us your favorite memories working at Gear Junkie? Okay.
God, there's a lot. I just don't even know
where
to start.
What's your favorite? Honestly, I'm gonna like, working at Gear Junkie is awesome for me.
It is,
like,
my favorite memory.
It is really cool if you are ready to fly by the seat of your pants. if you can hang in a multitude of social situations.
Oh, man.
I once shot myself in the face with the nonviolent end of a gun.
that was
your favorite memory?
No, not my favorite. But it was a thing
moment.
That happened. It was a thing that happened that popped into my head.
For those
literally,
that understand,
it literally popped into my head.
He gave himself a scope kiss.
Yeah, I have a new scar. As
with
a
with the scope of a
okay,
I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna out you on this.
No,
out you.
Hold on. Only out me if you also out yourself for totally eating it on a bike on that exact same trip.
I did.
Like,
absolutely.
You had several scabs.
But the whole part of my body was bloody. Like, one.
Yeah, I had a small scar on my forehead.
Yeah, I had road rash from my wrist to my ankle. Think about how that works out.
Yeah,
down one side.
You sent it, bud.
I did send it very hard. And Adam shot a BB gun.
Okay, it was an air rifle.
It was an air rifle, okay. But still, somehow the scope hit him in the eye, and he gave himself a bit of a
cut. Sean shoots a lot of things. I do not.
I'm
more of a pacifist.
I just think that it might be the first time that has been done. I'm not sure. But that was actually a great trip. And, you know... yeah. My very first assignment for Gear Junkie, which was well before it was a large publication, was competing in a fat bike race on snow at the Vail Mountain Games. This started, I would say it was a month after I had left the Caribbean after 10 years as a newspaper journalist, and I jumped on a fat bike on the snow. I had not been on a bicycle in probably 10 years plus, and competed in a race where I found out that there were some absolutely top level mountain bike racers in it, and I got smoked. But, you know, it was that whole, you find a big discomfort, but it is a good way to tell a story. I crashed 3 times. We don't.
But
do
did you get the story?
Con McCoy always gets
I
the
story. I always get the story, whether it's a good story or not. It usually depends on how badly I do it, whatever it is that I was doing.
It's interesting because the environment we're in now is potentially different than the environment we were in. So historically, we went on press trips. Brands would invite you to test their gear in marvelous adventures, and that was great. And I will never forget those things. That that may or may not resurface. I will say, oddly enough, as amazing as all the trips I've taken are, one of the coolest memories I have is writing a story about a friend that I have, and I had taken it for granted that this person was involved in the bike industry and had actually worked his way in with the local law enforcement to help recover stolen bikes. And I knew this guy. Like, I was just like, oh, this is my friend and he does this thing. And it never even occurred to me to marry things that I know as a non-gear junkie person to my professional life. And when I mentioned offhand to Steven and Sean, like, hey, yeah, I got this buddy and he works with the police department to help recover stolen bikes. And they were like, dude, just, you should write that story, get a hold of him, like interview him. And it never occurred to me. And one of the coolest things I've done at Gear Junkie is interview that person and tell that story. And it was great. It was really, really interesting because I think this is true of most people. Like, most people encounter stories that are really interesting to other people. They just don't have an outlet to do it, or they may not think to like plumb the depths and report it as a writer. Like, I actually have access to really cool stories that people would like to read. And that was kind of an aha moment. Like, it's not just what I do 9 to 5. Like, when I'm at Gear Junkie, I read my email, I read press releases, and I write on that stuff. It's also like when I'm out in the world, those are things that I can write about. Like, I live cool stories. And I would say that realizing that was a really cool, memorable moment professionally. So,
yeah, that was a good story. I remember that one well.
Thank you.
That was fun.
I'm going to go read that one now.
Yeah. I think that
sounds awesome.
I really wish I had the headline.
I don't remember.
Memorized?
Yeah, it was good, but
yeah. Bike Vigilante. Just Google
Bike Vigilante.
Go to Gear Junkie,
yeah.
And then use the search bar for Bike Vigilante.
Bike Vigilante. I kind of would agree with the sentiment that some of my favorite moments of work have definitely been work. I mean, we do a lot of awesome things. We get to test the latest and greatest of gear. We go skiing in amazing places, and I've run, you know, lots of ultra marathons and camped all over the world and done some great stuff. But there's very little to me that is more gratifying than reading an article that I've written within the last couple days. Maybe it was 2 or 3 days ago that I published something that I was like, oh, that felt good when I wrote it. And then looking back at it and reading it again and being like, wow, I really like what I wrote there. And to me, that rush of doing good writing and good journalism and sometimes good editing where I'm able to work on a story that isn't mine and help bring it to life, that to me is so rewarding. And I love that part of writing. I love that part of journalism. And I think that that's one of the coolest parts of our job too.
You guys are clearly passionate. You very much sold the Gear Junkie workplace today. Thanks for being on the podcast, guys, and you know, bringing some lighthearted fun to this and showing really the how fun a workplace can be when it's the right fit for people. So I think it's awesome.
You're welcome, Jenna.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, certainly that was one of our most valuable episodes to date, specifically for the freelancer community. If you know any freelancers, send them this episode. They will thank you. The opportunity to hear directly from editors about what they'd like to see is so rare and so helpful. So we're really thankful to Adam and Sean for being so candid about what they're looking for. And absolutely, that Vigilante article did make it to our show notes. So make sure you're going to look at that and give it a read. It's an awesome article. Did want to remind everybody to sign up for the Basecamp newsletter and join us on Facebook in our community. As you heard, that's going to be the first place that Gear Junkie and their new sister publications post any roles. So if you think that you're going to be a good fit based on what you've heard, absolutely go there so that you can get word first of those new postings. And we just really want to thank you for listening. Please review if you like what you hear. And if you have any questions or feedback, we would love to hear from you. Our show notes on outdoordreamjobs.com have all of our contact information. If you have questions, feedback, something that you'd like to hear about, or if you'd like to be on the show, please let us know. We would love to hear from you. Thanks, guys. Allie and I will be back next week with 5 more jobs.